Counsel, good morning. This is the case of State versus Starks. And we will begin with introductions of members of the court. I'm Mike Hevigan, the Chief Justice, and now by seniority as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller-Lerman.
William Castle, good morning.
Stephanie Stacy, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff Funk.
And Jonathan Papik.
And Ms. Peterson, are you with us today?
I am. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. And Ms. Duffy, are you with us today?
I am, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Peterson, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Annie Peterson. I am a Douglas County Assistant Public Defender. I represent Gary Starks in this matter. We are here today on my appeal of the sentences imposed by the district court. As an initial matter, I am in agreement with the state that the district court imposed three improper sentences on the class four felonies because they accompanied a class 2A felony. The court erred in imposing determinate sentences as opposed to indeterminate sentences. So I would join in the state's request to remand those three matters for resentencing to the district court. In addition, I'm here
Peterson,
today.
Is an indeterminate sentence, if you say not more than 2 years and not less than 2 years, is that an indeterminate sentence?
I believe this court has found that that does constitute an indeterminate sentence. However, I believe in this case, the district court judge simply said 2 years.
So what would the practical effect of sending that back for some redetermination be?
Well, Your Honor, we will be asking that all four sentences be remanded as they are excessive since they were all nonviolent property crimes. So even had he imposed a sentence of 2 to 2 years in these three cases, we still would have been asking for resentencing in this case. So we would ask, in addition to remanding those three, that we remand the class 2A felony for which Mr. Starks received a sentence of 8 to 16 years. The history of that particular offense was that Mr. Starks pleaded guilty to and admitted to taking musical instruments from a music store, two oboes, two flutes, and a mandolin in total. For the two cases, it was about $9,700, so under $10,000. And he received a sentence of 8 to 16 years. Obviously, the maximum he could have received was 20 years, so the number on the back end is approaching that maximum sentence. This court is well aware of the grading of theft offenses in Nebraska. Goes all the way from a Class 2 misdemeanor, Class 1 misdemeanor, jumps up to a Class 4 felony if the value is between $1,500 and $5,000, and then jumps up straight from a class 4 to a 2A at that $5,000 mark. And there's nothing above that for simple theft by shoplifting. So whether we're talking about $10,000 or $500,000, that sentencing range is the same. And given that this was on the lower end.
Were these sentences all within the sentencing range?
They were, Your Honor. Since this was on the lower end, however, I believe a lower sentence is warranted in this case. You look at the other Class 2A felonies in Nebraska, for instance, burglary, second-degree assault, negligent child abuse resulting in death, manslaughter. These all involve risk to human life or injury or death. Obviously, a simple theft is a nonviolent property crime. And the only explanation for the wide sentencing range available to judges for this 2A theft by shoplifting is to cover the immense monetary loss that can be suffered And again, this was $9,700. And also the business owner was able to reclaim the musical instruments. So out of pocket, he was just about $1,000. So again, I don't think that this warrants a sentence of 8 to 16 years. I think that these harsh sentences must be reserved for at least for a theft to a charge must when the value is quite larger than that, or perhaps when the defendant has served lengthy prison sentences in the past. Mr. Stark's longest sentence was 4 years, and he was 17 years old at the time of that incident. So this is quite a large jump, especially when you aggregate it with his other sentences. The sentencing judge is required to take into account, among other things, the motivation for the offense, the nature of the offense, any violence involved in the commission of the crime. The motivation here was to take property from a business. Perhaps to feed a drug habit, as Mr. Starks admitted in the pre-sentence investigation. There was no motivation to physically harm anybody. We know the nature of the offense, again, is a theft, no violence, and there was no violence involved even in any sort of altercation when leaving the store or anything like that. I would argue the judge failed to take these specific factors into consideration when he imposed a sentence of 8 to 16 years, thereby abused his discretion in imposing the sentence. So we would ask that this court remand all four sentences to the district court for resentencing.
Thank you very much. Ms. Duffy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, I'm Siobhan Duffy, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellee, the state of Nebraska. This is a consolidated appeal involving three cases. Appellant entered pleas in all three cases at one hearing and was sentenced at all three in another. Appellant on appeal argues the district court abused its discretion in imposing excessive sentences. The state believes the sentence imposed for appellant's conviction of theft by shoplifting $5,000 or more in case A20586 was within the statutory limits and that appellant cannot show an abuse of discretion. However, as noted by opposing counsel, the state also believes and agrees that the district court erred in imposing determinate sentences for the remaining convictions, which were all class four felonies.
Does it make any difference in this case that the charging documents were three different documents? Does the determinate, indeterminate situation is that affected by three different charging documents?
Your Honor, I don't believe so. I believe that the statute's very clear that when 2922.04.02 states that when a sentence for a class, the lower level felonies, the 4, 3A, and 3s are imposed consecutively or concurrently to a sentence for one of those higher level felonies, it's required to be an indeterminate sentence with no post-release supervision. And I don't believe that the fact that it's three separate cases would have an impact on the statutory requirements of indeterminate versus determinate.
I beg your pardon. Are you aware of our cases, if any, where we have found an error with respect to one case or count and remanded for resentencing as to everything in play because it was a package, so to speak?
Your Honor, I'm not specifically aware of that situation. Obviously, that doesn't mean it didn't occur. I will note last year in State v. Guzman, which I apologize, I will get that cite for you, 305 NEB 376, that's from 2020. This court, at issue there was a class 2 felony, and the court imposed a concurrent determinate sentence for a class 4 felony. And this court vacated and remanded the sentence for that count only, just for that class 4 felony. So I think that this court has in the past, even though they may have been sentenced as a package within the same case, remanded individual sentences. I don't recall a situation where it's been multiple cases. On that Guzman case was, I believe, just one charging document. But again,
is that what you envision happening here, that it would be remanded just for the charges that were mis-sentenced, if you will.
Yes, Your Honor, because the state believes that the sentence in case A-2586 for that class 2A felony, that theft by shoplifting $5,000 or more, was within the statutory limits. We believe appellant cannot show an abuse of discretion. At that sentencing hearing, the district court noted it had reviewed the pre-sentence investigation report and considered it and the statements at the sentencing hearing. So district court was aware of and had reviewed and considered those matters that opposing counsel has referenced for this court today and still imposed the sentence. The state does not believe that that sentence is an abuse of discretion and that it's a valid sentence that takes effect when it's imposed. So we would request this court affirm that sentence, vacate and remand the sentence for that second count in that case, and then vacate and remand the sentences for A-2587 and A-2585.
Ms. Duffy?
Yes, Your Honor.
With respect to the higher level felonies, do you agree that the current version of Section 29-2204 in subsection 1 and its subsections, in effect, requires that the indeterminate sentence for that higher level felony, other than a sentence to the minimum, there must be a difference between the minimum and the maximum that's imposed?
Yes, Your Honor. Section 1, subsection A and B provides that it, so for example, the court could impose a sentence of 8 to 16 years imprisonment, but could, or the minimum to whatever number, I guess, greater, the minimum, it could be the minimum to the minimum or the minimum to some different number. There must be a difference.
So it could not be, for example, when it's a minimum of 1 year and a maximum of 20, it could not be 16 years to 16 years.
Correct, Your Honor, because the minimum term must either be the minimum provided by law or less than the maximum imposed by the court. Your Honor, I'm sorry, I did not hear what you just said.
Trying to use two things at once and
I can hear you
succeed.
Now.
So then when you turn to the section upon which you're actually relying, which is 29-2204.02 sub 4, I think.
Correct.
When an indeterminate sentence is required for the 3A or 4 felony, when it's imposed at the same time as the higher level felony, does the rule from 29-2204 sub 1 that requires there to be a difference between the minimum and the maximum apply to those lower level felonies?
Well, Your Honor, that is the exact issue that this court faced in State v. Artis, 296 NEB 172, from 2017, and that opinion was also later supplemented by State v. Artis, 296 NEB 606, 2017. And in that case, the state had posited to this court that the language in 29-2204.02 sub 4 that directs the now indeterminate sentence that's required for those lower classes of felonies to be imposed by the process provided in 29-2204 to require a difference in that minimum and maximum term, unless the minimum is the minimum provided by law. And this court found that the language in 29-2204 subsection 1 that excluded its application to required the sentences for felonies other than 3As and 4s. This court found that exclusionary provision was a controlling provision, so that in the case of a indeterminate sentence for one of those 4, 3A, or 3 felonies, that the minimum term could be the same as the maximum term, that those provisions did not apply. So the state a sentence of 2 to 2 years imprisonment for a class 4 felony, based on this court's opinion, State v. Artis, would be acceptable and would not run afoul of that situation.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Duffy, if we remand those, as you apparently all agree, can be remanded, can the judge change the sentence from consecutive to concurrent?
Well, Your Honor, the sentences as imposed here would be vacated, which means that they haven't happened, or, you know, they have no effect. So I haven't really considered that issue, but I suppose off the cuff, I don't know what would prevent the court from switching them from consecutive to concurrent. So I'm not sure. I don't believe there'd be anything that would prohibit that.
Thank you.
Yes, as I noted, the state believes that the sentence for the conviction of theft by shoplifting, $5,000 or more, in case A2586 is within the statutory limits and was not an abuse of discretion. And unless there are additional questions, we request you affirm that sentence and reverse and remand the remaining sentences for resentencing for the imposition of indeterminate sentences. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 4 minutes and 31 seconds.
4 minutes and 31 seconds, Ms. Peterson.
Your Honor, I would just reiterate our request to remand all sentences and not to simply impose 2 to 2 years, or to keep the sentence of 8 to 16 years in place, as we believe all four our sentences to be an abuse of discretion and to be excessive in this case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel for participating by WebEx. You are now excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Combs.